won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Black Berkey purification elements are more powerful than any gravity filter element on the market. These awesome elements are used in Berkey purification systems, and they can also be used to upgrade most other gravity filtration systems. They can purify raw, untreated water by removing pathogenic bacteria, cysts, parasites, trihalomethanes, and chemicals such as chlorine, atrazine, styrene, and MTBE. These elements also reduce unwanted heavy metals such as lead, mercury, and aluminum. Unbelievably, they even remove small microparticulate from water like food coloring particles. Yet, they leave in the nutritional minerals that your body needs. Moreover, because they are recleanable, Black Berkey elements are more economical than the standard disposable elements, providing fresh, pure water for less than 2 cents per gallon.
Get a 2.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and, well, of course, they're also the views of, I fear, probably going to be, of somebody out there in the audience, because it doesn't look like our regularly scheduled guest is going to be with us. So if you'd like to be one of those guests, the place to call, the number to call, would be 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But until we hear from you calling us at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, let me first bring you some fascinating information that you're not going to hear elsewhere. And this, of course, is the story of what really happened at the time when the Murrah Building was actually blown up. You remember when the Murrah Building was blown up? It was 1995, and 168 Americans died. Well, really 169, because they found a leg there, and nobody knew who it belonged to, but nobody really worried that they had a leg that didn't belong to anybody. In fact, everything was done to cover that up. They even buried the leg with the wrong cadaver. But you have to understand that we've never gotten the truth about what really happened at the Oklahoma City. Well, there's one gentleman who's never forgotten. And he's never forgotten because his brother was killed several years ago by FBI agents who beat him to death in a cell in a government prison, and then have covered up the fact his name was Tretido. And Tretido's brother is Jesse Tretido, and I've had him on in the past, and he'll be on with us again. And because he's a lawyer, he has been going to try to get the truth of what this was really all about, because apparently the reason that they killed Mr. Tretido's brother was the fact that they thought that he was somebody who had been involved with Timothy McVeigh. And Timothy McVeigh was involved with an Aryan nation group that was going around and was holding up banks and robbing banks to get money to finance their illegal activities. Well, basically what you're going to have to understand is that they actually were funding the Aryan Nation movement, the radical Christian identity movement, which, of course, Janarino identified as terrorists. The whole thing was being funded by the Federal Bureau of Investigation. And of course, as Mr. Trentadue got deep, more and more deep into this whole issue, why, of course, it became increasingly obvious that the FBI could not let the American people know that they were intimately involved with the whole bombing. They knew the bombing was coming. It was their agents that helped to provide the detonator caps, a man named Mr. Moore. This whole thing is beautifully laid out in a filing that Mr. Trentadue has put in. Now, everything is being done to cover this up. It's being covered up totally by the American media. The last thing they want the American people to know is that the government blew up that building and allowed all those people to die. And now, how did they do it? Well, they hired the people from this Aryan resistance movement and the people there, Andreas Strassmeier, who is some sort of a government agent. He was working in Elohim City, teaching people about explosives. He had worked with Chris McVeigh in the past. And Terry Nichols has come forward and told the whole story. What is the truth about what happened there? Well, of course, the truth is that Timothy McVeigh wrote to his sister, Jennifer, and said, I am working with a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. And then, of course, he told the same thing to the man he shared a cell with there in the cell block at the federal prison. And that man wrote a book called A Book Worth Dying For. He also told Terry Nichols trying to get the information out, and everything has been done to keep Terry Nichols from talking to anybody from the media. They're afraid the people are going to learn the truth. And we'll be back here in just a minute at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, and of course, this is the time when I want to tell you that there are going to be open lines. And if you'd like to call us, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But just right now, while we're talking about what happened at Oklahoma City. And this is really an incredible story. We actually talked to Jesse Trentadue, who is actually Terry Nichols' lawyer. And, of course, Terry Nichols has wanted to come forward and tell the whole truth. And everything is being done to block Terry, who's been sentenced to prison for life, from coming forward and telling what was really behind what happened that day when they killed 169 Americans, because there was one leg there that nobody knew ever it would belong to. He's probably one of the people associated with the hit team that was involved in planting the explosives that blew up the building, because the building certainly wasn't blown up by the bomb that came from an outside, but they can't let the American people know that. And the great tragedy is that there's been a conscious cover-up of what really happened. Well, we do know certain things, and one of them is the fact that the FBI has been doing everything they can to keep the information from coming out. And we have the information that the FBI is trying to actually conceal at this time, and we got this from Mr. Trentadue, and it is his filing, and it's maybe about 50 or 60 pages long, but we are offering it here at Radio Liberty. You'll just have to pay for the printing of this, and for the, but really from page 16 on, why he tells you that as what really had happened, and of course the FBI was funding the whole right-wing movement. They were funding the Aryan Brotherhood, which was a racist organization. They were funding the Christian Identity Movement. They were funding the other movements that were involved at that time. They were funding the people who actually blew up the building, but they can't let the American people know that. We'll be back in a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here, and we have open lines. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, and I think I'll just start in until somebody calls in. Reading to you from the statement of facts presented, and this is on page 16 of the brief that has been filed with the court. Now, the FBI has accepted all this as fact, but says, oh, we can't bring this out because we can't let the American people know. First of all, they lied to the judge, and then, of course, when the judge found out the FBI was lying, he got really very intolerant of them, demanded that they begin to produce the evidence. They have produced a lot of evidence, and Jesse Trentadue obviously has somebody on the inside who's feeding him information. But let me read you what he's written. The place is beginning in evaluating the district court order allowing plaintiffs to conduct discovery is the evidence before the district court. Set out below is that uncontroverted evidence that a support of the district court's issuance of the discovery order and the denial of the FBI defendants' effort to not allow this information to be known. On August 20th, 2004, the plaintiff commenced this action to require the FBI defendants to produce documents, records, which directly or indirectly reported upon, concerned, referenced, or referred to Morris D. and of the Southern Poverty Law Committee involvement with and connection with Elohim City, the OK City bombing, the Tim McVeigh, Richard Guthrie, Terry Nichols, Dennis Mahan, Robert Millar, Michael Biscay, and a number of other things. Of course, we know that Andrea Strassmeyer was involved in this. And basically, as we get into it further, we find out that the government's agents actually provided the explosive. They provided the timing devices and the various the fuses that were used by Timothy McVeigh, but of course they also obviously were involved as far as the planting the explosives in the building, because that building came down because of the explosives. But they've managed to cover this up, but now, of course, the FBI has accepted the fact that Timothy McVeigh was actually working with the government in one way or another, and the government knew about it, and they're doing everything they can to conceal that, because imagine what would happen if the American people understood that the FBI or what is covering up evidence of a mass murder in America, the largest mass murder at that time, and of course that they know who was involved, but they can't let the American people know that a lot of this was carried out by a special forces team. How do we know it was carried out by a special forces team? Well, there's a book called OK Bomb, and we've carried it in the past. I'm sure we don't carry it now. Written by Jim Keith, who talked about the letter that Timothy McVeigh wrote to his sister Jennifer that said he was working for a special forces unit involved in illegal activity. Now, the book was written by Jim Keith, and not too long after that, we never guess what happened. Jim went into the hospital for a very minor procedure, and he just up and died right there in the operations type of surgery I've done many times, a knee arthroscopy, but he died after a knee arthroscopy. Nobody ever dies after a knee arthroscopy other than Jim Keith, who was a young, healthy man. But that could have been just one of those rare one-in-a-million cases, except that a couple of weeks later his publisher dies under very mysterious circumstances. And then a couple of weeks later, his ex-wife dies under very mysterious circumstances. Now, I want to ask you, do you think that all just happened by accident? And then, of course, we know that there's a book. It's called A Secret Worth Dying For. I may not have the title quite right, but it's out there, and we can get you the title if you want to. It was written by Timothy McVeigh's cellmate in the federal prison, who told him that Timothy had told him he was working for a special forces unit and working with a special forces unit. He also sold the same thing to Timothy McVeigh, and that's what the document we have and we're offering tells you. But everything is being done to cover that up. How do you think the American people would realize that they killed the people at the Murrah building to get a reaction from the public and to pass new restrictive legislation and new gun laws and new anti-terrorist laws? Because if they kill those people, what about September 11th? that got us into a war in Afghanistan and Iraq, and nobody can tell me why we're still fighting in Afghanistan today. In fact, we're going to expand that war. We've got a full board, so let's go right now to Mark from Florence, Oregon. Hi, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Dr. Stan. I hope you're well. You sound great.
I'm doing great.
Well, I can tell. Dr. Stan, when we spoke earlier this week, I had mentioned to you that the Child Protective Services in this country regularly take children from parents on trumped-up and false charges.
Right, absolutely they do, and sometimes they put them into a home where they're sexually molested, they put them into homosexual homes. These children's lives are destroyed, and it's all being subsidized with federal money, because if the Child Protective Agency can get a child away from a family, they get $25,000 reward. So they have all sorts of incentives to take these children away and destroy their lives and put them in positions where they're going to be sexually molested. But if that happens, nothing is ever done to the molesters, because they're protected by the local court system, which is totally corrupt when it comes to Child Protective Services.
Well, absolutely. As I mentioned to you in that call earlier this week, I understand Alex Jones has done a beautiful expose on this over the last couple of months. And you had asked me how you could get some corroborating information. You sound like you've already come across some, which is credible to you. But I wanted to mention to you that Alex Jones has a search engine built into his website on Infowars.com. I'm not internet savvy, but I'm sure you could find it. And you could find just a wealth of really well-documented information about this, and that it's not just been around for a while, this atrocity, but it is actually, this is ongoing and increasing. You know, there's a lot of money to be made, and there's a lot of so-called sexual pleasure to be had at the cost of these children's mental stability and lives at times. They don't survive the experience.
Well done, Mark. I've interviewed former state senator Nancy Schaefer. She was in Georgia, and she, of course, when she was in the state senate in Georgia, she tried to address this issue, and they did everything. The Republican Party in her state, the governor of the state of Georgia came in to her district to campaign against her, to get her out. Why? Because she was exposing this corruption. Believe me, this goes to the highest levels of our government, and that's the story of the Franklin cover-up. Anything else, Mark? We've got a full board.
No, Dr. Stan, I would just urge you, if you would, if you have time, if you could look into Alex's website and pick this subject out with the search engine, you could find some very valuable witness information there about families who have had this done to them, whose children are still missing. And I tried to find it before I called you, but I couldn't find the right notebook. There's at least one website on there of a parent who's lost his children this way, and he came on and did an interview with Alex, and I thought perhaps that, you know, to give it some publicity and notoriety, because it's really not covered very much.
We've covered it.
I'd be able to bring him on eventually.
We've covered it many times, Mark, but I would suggest to our listeners to go to Alex Jones' website and do the search engine and find that. Alex has some excellent information. God bless you. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. God bless.
And let's go to Kent, who's calling from West Virginia. Hi, Kent. How are you doing?
Pretty good, Dr. Stan.
Have a question or comment?
Yeah, maybe you can say something for me about Timothy McVeigh. Now, of course, when that happened, I wasn't really aware of what the government was up to, you know, but I was always kind of suspicious, and when immediately they blamed the Muslims and everything. But the thing that, even though I wasn't suspicious of it at the time, the thing that always struck me as odd is he supposedly was captured by an ordinary policeman, because he was driving down the road after leaving the scene of the crime with a car that had no license plates on it. Did you hear that story?
Oh, yeah. And basically, of course, a car is all full of right-wing propaganda, right-wing militia propaganda, you know, anti-government propaganda. So obviously, anybody who's anti-government's got to be just like Timothy McVeigh, wants to blow buildings up and kill a lot of people. What Timothy McVeigh told the man who was in the cell next to him was that he would never get out of prison unless, of course, he was executed. And that may very well be why one of the people who actually witnessed this, and I heard an interview that she did that was played repeatedly on the William Cooper show. William Cooper used to have a radio program. And here this woman who witnessed the McVeigh execution said, I didn't know you continued breathing after you were dead. And he kept playing that over and over and over again. His name was William Cooper. He wrote a book called Ride a Pale Horse. Go up on the internet and see what happened to William Cooper. He is no longer on the radio. In fact, he's no longer living. They killed him.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else?
You better let him go on 60 minutes and do his defiant act from prison and everything.
Right.
You know,
and basically, all you need to, you just need to read, there's a book they put out, supposedly, where Timothy Bate told his story about how he's driving this truck and he's 5 minutes away from the Murrah building, so he lights the 5 minute fuse, and then when he gets a minute away from the building, he lights the 1 minute fuse to the explosives, and then he drives up to the building. He doesn't even know there's going to be a parking place there. But miraculously, there's a parking place for them, and then he parks the truck. Now, remember, the 1 minute fuse has been going for a minute, and then already, then he gets out of the truck and goes over and gets into his car with no license plate on it. It was all staged. And first, we have actually four tape sets. With this, the government, of course, knew every aspect about it. One of the most tragic stories is the story of Carol Howe, who was a real patriotic woman who risked her life to infiltrate Elohim City, where a lot of this was being planned, and the government tried to send her to prison for life as a terrorist. Fortunately, we have an interview with her attorney, Clark Brewster, who got her off only because her family had a lot of money. That's what happens to patriots who try to defend their country. She didn't understand the enemy, of course, was not in Elohim City. It was in Washington, D.C. And there's just so much to this story that the average person has never heard. And, of course, we have 2-4 tape sets on this, and we have other information available through Radio Liberty. We hope that you and others will want to get it. But this latest thing by Mr. Tretterdome, who is representing Tara Nichols, is available through Radio Liberty. Hold on. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you, Dr. Kent.
Okay. Have anything else you want to say there, John? Kent?
No, thanks. The only thing I could say is if there was a guy who wanted to get caught, and he was such a violent man, why didn't he kill the police and everything?
And the other thing is, why was he so anxious to get executed?
Yeah.
And as he told, and this is in the book, it's called, I believe it's Secrets Worth Dying For. If you can't find it up on Amazon, why, of course, I can get you the exact title, get a few pages for you. But as he told him, the only way I'm ever going to get out of prison is if they execute me. What did he know, and what was he talking about? Hey, God bless, Kent. Thanks very much. And right now we've got a full board. We've got the Happy Camper from Pennsylvania. Our telephone number 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. Hi, how you doing?
Hey, Dr. Stan, how are you?
I'm doing fine. How's weather back there in Pennsylvania?
A little chilly. Well, it warmed up 50 degrees, but it's still raining, and I guess it's going to get chilly tomorrow.
All right, fine. Do you have a question or comment for us?
Comment. Why did they pick the Alfred P. Murrah building?
I don't know. I think that they wanted to kill as many people as they could, and why they picked that government building over another one, I really don't know. But I do know that we've never been told the truth.
If I had to bet my life on it, I'd bet that this guy was right, but it won't hold up his testimony in court. Would you like to hear my response?
Sure, go ahead.
Well, there was a congressman. He was involved in a scandal with the Arabs back in 77 or so, but they let him stay in. His name was John Murtha.
Right.
John P. Murtha.
From Pennsylvania, from Johnstown,
and
Pennsylvania?
Supposedly they were looking for this building to blow up and they waited a day or two, and finally Jack Murtha got up and said, well, he says, if there's one damn building I'd like to see go, he says, it's that damn Alfred P. Murrah building. Because every time I hear that name mentioned in Washington, D.C., they ask me if it was named after me.
I don't know anything at all about it, but anyway, Chris, why they picked that building, I don't know, but I do know that we've not been told the truth about what happened that tragic day. And of course, the basic to this very day, why the FBI refuses, steadfastly refuses to release the videotapes that they took, and they had videotapes that showed the front of the Murrah building that way. That day they had videotapes that showed the Ryder truck. And of course, they refused to give those tapes out because of an ongoing criminal investigation. And I know a friend of mine actually spent a lot of money to get an attorney to try to get the tapes. Now, why are they concealing the tapes of the front of the Murrah building?
I was told it was John P. Murtha who wanted the building destroyed because it was the Alfred P. Murrah building, and he always got it confused with him.
He
wanted every cinder block blown off that corner square, and of course only one of three bombs went off. So I believe my information's correct. I just thought I'd slide it in there.
All right.
Dr. Stan, good luck, and keep up the good work.
Okay, fine. Don't know anything about it, but thanks very much for your call.
Thank you.
And we've got Tony calling from Soquel. We'll go to Tony, and again, we have our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295, and we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan. We've got Tony calling from Soquel. Our telephone number, it's open line here. It's open line Friday. Our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. Tony, how are you doing?
Oh, good. You don't get to say that, Tony, from Soquel too much.
All right, fine. Well, it's good. Good to know you're down here. Anyway,
yeah.
How are things up there in Spokane where you're living?
Actually, not bad.
Do you enjoy it up there?
It has its advantages, mostly positive.
All right, fine. Well, anyway, go ahead.
Well, I wanted to, back to the reason I called was about the state representative lady who was at the execution, or so-called execution, of McVeigh. And you already talked about that a little bit, about he was still breathing, according to her. And she's another one. She was a state representative who had a very mysterious death right afterwards. But you already knew about that. I wanted to bring that up.
No, I didn't know that she did. I thought she was a reporter. I could be mistaken. It's been some time, but I did have her tape, and I have no idea what happened to it. I hope I didn't deep six it. But I do remember, of course, William Cooper kept playing that segment of her tape over and over again. Go ahead.
Oh, that book, by the way, was called Behold a Pale Horse.
Behold a Pale Horse by William Cooper, right?
Yes. I first read that book maybe 15 years ago, and I thought the guy was insane. Since then, I really seriously think that he was off the hook.
I think that the term is, I used to think he was insane, but now I'm afraid he's not. I've had people say that to me, now I'm afraid you're not. Go ahead.
Because so many of the things that he wrote about were just so far out there, and yet time has proven him correct.
Right.
It's kind of a scary thing. Another funny incident, or I don't know if the word is funny or not, about the Oklahoma City bombing is that there was a judge in that who worked in that building, and he wrote a letter to the Oregonian newspaper. I can't remember his name. It's been many years now. But he wrote a letter and was published to thank the FBI for warning him beforehand to be out of the building that day, because otherwise his grandson would have been in the nursery and would have been killed. And that, along with the way that they demolished the building, and then they had it buried a great distance away from where the building stood, and then they put a fence around the building.
And then you're talking about now the wreckage from the building. Yes, and they actually had guards there. They could not allow anybody to get in there. In fact, the attorney for McVeigh was supposed to have had that building examined. But of course he actually had done everything he could to block other people. There were other people who wanted to get the building site examined, and McVeigh's attorney said, I'll take care of it, nothing to worry about. And then of course he let them tear down the building with no forensic examination looking for explosives. But people have really looked at this, and we have a couple of videos and DVDs on this subject. They all agree this was actually a controlled demolition. It was controlled from inside. And there were explosives in that building itself to bring it down.
Well, and then there was a general, Ben Parton. I believe I said that correctly.
Yeah, Ben Parton, right.
Well, he pointed out that the columns that were nearest the so-called explosion of the Ryder van truck were still standing, and the columns that were further away fell.
You're
and
absolutely.
That was physically impossible.
And so many of the columns, you know, that were close to where the bomb went off, they had sheetrock on them. The sheetrock was intact. Yeah, and of course it was the explosive, the columns were a long ways away where the sheetrock was taken off. So obviously, we have not been told the truth, and those people were killed as part of this conspiracy of evil we talk about, and it really is, this conspiracy against God. There are people who wanted this incident to justify massively expanding the government power over the lives of the people, to register weapons just like they're trying to do now, and of course to begin to monitor people in the name of fighting domestic terrorism. But of course at that time, why the there was a Muslim terrorist movement in this country, and they refused to let the American people know. We have a wonderful DVD. It is called Jihad in America, and it goes into what was happening during that period of time. The government knew about the Muslim terrorists, but they were focusing their attention on the so-called militia movement, which the government was funding, and that's what's brought out in the Trentadue report, which we're offering now. And then, of course, that they were funding the militia movement, and they were funding the Christian Identity movement, which Janarino was saying, oh, the Christian Identity movement, radical right-wing extremist terrorist movement. It was being funded by the American government. The man who ran Elohim City, the Christian Identity enclave there, was Reverend Millar, an FBI informant. We'll be right back in just a moment with Tony, and welcome your calls. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Again, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And go right ahead, Tony. Do you have anything else you want to cover?
Just a little bit, if it's okay. I'll try to make it quick. But this whole thing about Oklahoma City and that it wasn't resolved or cleared out or the guilty not brought to justice really reminds me also of the first World Trade Center bombing. And I believe it was a Mr. Saleem who was involved with the bomb building there for the FBI. And I know you've talked about that before. It was reported in the New York Times. I know you were giving out the article about it. It was the FBI that did that.
Right.
And I'm reminded of an adage from a writer who was in Nazi Germany. You know, first they came for the Jews, then they came for the trade unionists, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And then finally, when they came for me, there was nobody left. Well, I changed that a little bit to first they came for Randy Weaver, then they came for David Koresh, then they blew up Oklahoma City, and then they blew up the World Trade Center. And every single time they keep doing things that are crimes against the public, very same people, by the way, all of them. It keeps getting larger in magnitude. And I really am fearful for this country, in that if these people are not stopped, then the next World Trade Center or Oklahoma City or Waco or Ruby Ridge, it's going to be a city and maybe a state if they're not stopped. And
well,
I'm just wondering if you could comment on that.
Well, I really fear, of course, that we will have more terrorist activities, but my real fear is that they're in the process of planning World War III, and they really intend to have a worldwide nuclear war. Why do I believe that? Why? Very simply because of the Sybil Edmonds story, and there's no logical explanation for it other than the fact that we are actively and intentionally allowing the transfer of nuclear technology to Pakistan. And that was the very essence of the Sybil Edmonds story, and I'm sure you're well acquainted with that, aren't you, Tony? Tony? Well, I guess we lost Tony. Well, anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment. And, of course, anybody who doesn't know the Sybil Edmonds story, please go to our website at radioliberty.com, www.radioliberty.com. Look up our January 2008 newsletter. It tells you it's called State Secrets, and it's the most amazing story you ever heard. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we're going to have open lines for the next hour, so next half hour. So give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And our caller, Tony from Soquel, had suddenly said he was concerned that there was going to be another major terrorist attack that would be actually put on as really not a terrorist attack, would be as phony as the attack on the Murr building in Oklahoma City, because it's obvious that there was government involvement in that, and then the downing of TWA. They've covered up so much information there, and then what really happened on September 11th. You realize, of course, that the 911 commission interviewed 1,200 people and sealed the testimony of 1,100 of the 1,200 people for 50 years. Why would they do that? We've interviewed Jimmy Walters, and you can hear my interviews with him. We have him on tape. Jimmy Walters is a multimillionaire who spent about $8 million of his own money buying ads and buying television times in New York to explain to people why we'd been lied to about 9/11, that obviously this was controlled demolition. And Jimmy Walters is living in hiding in Europe today, fearing for his life because of the threats against him. Why would somebody threaten him and try to silence him and drive him out of the country? Unless, of course, maybe what he said was true. And then, of course, Mike Rupert, who we interviewed many times in the past, who wrote the book Crossing the Rubicon, that pointed out that on the morning of September 11th, 2001, there were 15 different, military exercises, and several of them involved hijacking planes and crashing them into our buildings. And Michael Rupert, somebody tried to poison him. The FBI had infiltrated his organization and destroyed his records. And then it turned out his best friend was an FBI informant working to destroy him. And after they tried to poison him, Michael Rupert is living in hiding in Canada. If he was not correct about what he said, why are they trying to intimidate him and keep him quiet? And believe me, ladies and gentlemen, a number of the people I've interviewed through the years have died under very mysterious circumstances. Why I'm still here, I'm not certain. I hope the Lord's looking after me. Well, our telephone number, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, but in response to Tony's concern about them staging another massive terrorist attack, I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm even more concerned about the coming nuclear war, World War III. You can go back and you can read the things that H.G. Wells was writing 75 years ago about the necessity for a third try at a new world order, and that was what was going to bring in this world government. It's been planned for a long period of time. If you're reading the writings of the occultists, they will tell you that there will be a coming crisis. Now, some of them are thinking that this is going to be taken care of with this massive financial collapse the whole world financially. Others talk about the necessity for a war. But I fear everything is in place for a nuclear war, and that is how we're going to, of course, get out of the economic problems we're in. They're going to destroy our currency, have a world war, and then the people will be readily willing to accept the new world order, the new world financial system, the new world currency, the new world religion with the destruction of Christianity, and, of course, the coming world leader. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 464-8295. John's calling from Oklahoma. Hi, John. How are you doing? John, are you there?
Wow.
Go right ahead.
I never heard a click, and I apologize, but my volume is kind of low on this end.
All right, go ahead and get the question in, and we'll do the best we can. Do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. If you don't mind, if anyone out there saw the NBC Brian Williams broadcast 2/25/09, That would have been Wednesday. Ash Wednesday. I'm not a coward, but it was the report that they had on the guns and everything and all that stuff. And there was also the vice president, when he came out of the, they showed a shot. They had a, a visual blip, what have you, of the vice president. Would that be Biden?
That's Joe Biden, right?
Yes, sir. He had a bruise on his forehead. It was kind of disturbing. They showed him coming out onto the podium or what have you, and then they showed Barack Obama. He was standing, Biden was approaching. Then they clipped away. They had some other information. Then they showed President Obama, and they did not show Biden, but the thing that I was,
Well, did you have, John, did you have a point?
He had a bump or a bruise on his forehead.
Well,
some kind of a dark bruise.
I don't know.
Forehead or something.
Okay,
anyway, that was kind of, it was very disturbing to me.
All right, fine.
It was very frightening.
Maybe
I was very disturbed.
Maybe.
If anyone else saw that broadcast, I would sure appreciate some sort of, I've been trying to call radio stations for the past 2 or 3 days to try to bring that out or bring that up as a
topic. All
right. You know, if Cheney had something wrong with him, or somebody else, like if another official, head of state or somebody had some kind of a medical problem, would they not? It would have been all over the news media. I was wondering if anybody else saw the bruise on his forehead, and if that had anything to do with the mark of the beast.
All right, fine. If anybody would like to put a call in, we'd be glad to hear from them. But I doubt very much that the bruise on Biden's forehead is the mark of the beast. Anyway, we have Mike calling from Santa Cruz. And again, if you'd like to call and participate, our number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. We'd love to hear from you. And Mike, hi, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'll bet he got in a fight with Hillary.
Well, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you saw the speech that Obama gave earlier this week, but President Obama is at the podium. Behind him is Nancy Pelosi and Joe Biden. And of course, just on cue, Nancy Pelosi jumps up out of her seat and is applauding wildly. And Joe Biden is sitting there looking terribly bored, and occasionally he will get up and applaud as well. But just all the difference between the wide-eyed Nancy Pelosi, just so enthusiastic about what's going on, and Joe Biden, as if he's saying, oh my goodness, do you think anybody's going to really believe this? Well, go right ahead, Mike. As John was talking, I wondered to myself, maybe when President Obama actually saw the clipping there and saw Joe Biden sitting behind him, he didn't actually yawn, but I mean, he might as well have. Boy, maybe Obama's wife hit him on the head with her purse. I don't know what happened.
Who knows what these people get into? We don't want to know what goes on behind.
Anyway, Mike. Did you have a question? Let me just put out our number. It's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question, comment, we'd love to hear from you. And if you have any ideas what that mark was on Joe Biden's forehead, why let us know. Go right ahead, Mike.
Well, if I can stop laughing. For your discussion about the Murrah Building, for people that don't understand that even yet, they can go on YouTube or Google Video and just type in Oklahoma City bombing or Murrah Building, whatever, and explosions. And you'll find before long clips and clips and clips of the newscasters that day in the first hour or two talking about multiple explosions. First, they talk about a secondary or a second explosion, and then others, as the minutes went on, there were more and more. if you sort of try and piece it together, you might come up with a half a dozen different explosions.
Well, basically, we do have some excellent DVDs and videos that we make available through Radio Liberty going into exactly what you're talking about, Mike, and you're absolutely right. Initially, why, of course, the newscasters were talking about the second explosion and the third explosion, and then, of course, they immediately went in and somebody picked up the clips. They cannot let the American people know the truth about what happened that day, or what happened with the downing of TWA 800, you know, the following year, or they certainly cannot let the people know what really happened on September 11th, but all we have to do is go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. We have one section on Building 7. Watch Building 7 come down three or four times, and you will realize this was a controlled demolition. And if it was, then somebody, and I'm not saying who was responsible, I'm not even saying that George Bush knew what was going to happen ahead of time, although I will tell you that very morning he was frightened to death. That's why, after he'd been told America was under attack, he sat there reading a book about a rabbit, I think it was, to the school children. He was goat. Frightened to death. Was it a goat?
Yeah.
About a goat, okay.
Doesn't matter.
But
barnyard.
The thing is that he was frightened to death to realize what had happened. And, of course, but Dick Cheney was not. He took charge. And, of course, we haven't gotten the truth about what happened. We may never know. But I hope one day the American people will realize that this was not 19 hijackers. Because if it was, it was the greatest conspiracy of all time. In fact, that's the government conspiracy theory. Their conspiracy theory is that 19 hijackers conspired together. And, of course, they, with their box knives, were able to commandeer those jet liners. But even more than that, they were able to outfox the NORAD, North America, the Air Force, the FAA, and all of the defenses for America. And then somehow or other, when they plunged the plane into the field there in Shanksville in Pennsylvania, all of the wreckage disappeared. There was no wreckage there. And then when they plunged the plane into the Pentagon, all the wreckage disappeared. Well, there was a couple little pieces outside. Looked like they came from a very small plane, but it sure didn't look like they came from a major airliner. And to this very day, the government refuses to release the videotapes they took that morning there on September 11th in front of the Pentagon. Why are they concealing the tapes? For the same reason they're concealing them as far as the bombing of the Murrah building back in 1995. They don't want the American people to learn the truth. Go right ahead, Mike.
Well, they gave us that big song and dance about Flight 93 crashing straight down so hard into the ground outside Shanksville that it just sort of buried itself. But
Everything was buried. The wings didn't break off. The tail didn't break off. It just all disappeared, and nobody's ever gone down to find it.
Yeah, that's the thing. They never gave us any story about digging it up. Don't you think they would dig it up?
Well, the truth of the matter is, of course, the wreckage was strewn over a number of miles. But they can't let the American people know that they lied. We've got to trust the government. Go right ahead.
Well, there's other clips out there even now of this news lady talking about, she's pale in the face and stuttering, she can hardly get it out, talking about how the airplane was strewn over the 8-mile path, like you're saying, and there's no part of it larger than a telephone book, she says. How does that happen? Even missiles from a fighter jet couldn't do that. It's like the plane had to be wired with explosives to make it do that, or it wasn't Flight 93 at all. But this newscaster lady, I believed her that she was at least trying to be honest in what she was given to report.
Okay, fine. We're going to have to run here,
right.
But thanks very much. Appreciate your calling. Let's go to Daniel calling from Monterey. Hi, Daniel. How are you doing? Daniel, are you there? Well, Daniel, I think we have lost Daniel from Monterey. If he wants to call back, we'll be glad to talk to him. And so we'll put Daniel on hold, and we'll try going over here to Janon from Texas. Hi, Janon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, Dr. Stan. I just wanted to say that the mark on Joe Biden's forehead was ashes because it was...
Speak up just a little louder, would you please, Janon?
Okay. I wanted to say that the mark on Vice President Joe Biden's forehead that was on you know, February 25th was Ash Wednesday, and he's a Catholic, and he went to church and got ashes put on his forehead.
I think that's a very good point. Thank you so very much for bringing that out, Janan, because I wasn't aware of that. Thank you so much. Well, we've got Nick calling from Costa Rica. And I think that's a very logical explanation. Again, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. And hi, Nick, how are you doing down there in Costa Rica?
Oh, pretty good. It's beautiful here. The weather's wonderful. However, where you are, it's beautiful, too. I hung out in Monterey and in Santa Cruz years ago. But anyway, I'm wondering...
Go right ahead.
We got a bad connection.
Well, go right ahead.
Okay, so many people have no idea what's going on. And I try to speak to people here, and they get really belligerent, you know, when you try to tell them what you know.
Well, then,
I don't know how to get through to them.
What you do, Nick, is you ask them questions. For instance, have you heard about those new material, on the Murrah building bombing? Oh, you haven't heard about that? You know, where, of course, the FBI has conceded the fact that they were working with McVeigh, and, well, I've got it right here. Maybe you'd like to read it. You really will do far better to ask questions than to try to lecture people because they've learned how to condition people's minds. And you were challenging everything that they are. And I'll never forget when I first got started in this, I found it impossible to believe. It took me a lot of time and a lot of research and a lot of book reading. And I hadn't read a book in probably 15 years. And so once I realized what was going on, I was reading a book a day, skim reading a book a day. And it took me a long time to finally come to a realization of what we were up against. And I'm still learning even to this day, 46 years later. Don't get impatient with people. Their minds are under control, and I believe there's a spiritual element to that. Some people will believe what you say, others won't. But then don't get angry with them. Simply ask them questions, and if they're not, but never give them anything. If you can, maybe lend them something, a tape, a video, a DVD, something, just to begin to raise questions in their minds. And of course, we have so many fascinating clips and documents that on really any subject at all. And if you could just get them to understand that they're intentionally poisoning our children with aspartame, they're intentionally poisoning our children with mercury and the vaccines, and of course in the dental fillings, they're intentionally poisoning our children with fluoride, and we have all the documentation. You need to get the documentation and talk to them about the danger of genetically modified food. I mean, didn't God know what he was doing? Did these people have to improve on God? Have they really improved on him? What about the long-term studies? Why do you think there's so much illness in the United States? Why do we have twice as much heart disease as they have in England? Why do we have an obesity epidemic? Do you think it's all the Colonel Sanders' fault? Is it possible there's something else? And, of course, that's the aspartame. Have the documentation, and that's how you read them. Reach them. Hang on here. We'll be back in just a moment.
I've been listening to people since the mid-80s.
Go right ahead.
And people just don't believe, you know. I guess we're off the air now. Huh?
No, we're not. Why, you go right ahead.
Oh, okay. Anyway, just for a little bit of humor before I close, I finally managed to save 50 cents, so I want to buy one share of AIG. How would I do that?
What? At a time, and
she was a vice president. You know.
Don't feel bad. I mean, don't be critical of her. The average person doesn't know. The average congressman, the average senator doesn't know. And that's why I do what I do, and that's why we compile our syllabuses. And we got a great syllabus we're putting together now with speeches given before Congress by Congressman McFadden in the 30s and Congressman Wright Patton, 1964, explaining how fraudulent the whole system is. And, of course, our material from Congressman Ron Paul is so great. His speeches are well worthwhile getting and reading and trying to get others to read, but all we can do is put the facts out. In the final analysis, Nick, God is going to determine who listens and who does not listen.
Yes.
And we can't make them believe, but he can. So when you present it in a loving and kind way, and when they reject you, just smile and say, well, we'll talk some other time. Or are you concerned about the collapse of the economic system? What will happen if they destroy the value of the American dollar and you lose everything that you've saved for your retirement? And I suspect that might be a good message to use down there in Costa Rica.
Right, it's probably too late for that. God bless you, and I really mean that, and thank you for what you're doing.
And do you listen by shortwave or internet?
No, internet.
All right, God bless. Thanks very much, Nick, and we'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right, this is Dr. Stan. And well, this is Dr. Stan. Of course, I'll have to admit I always enjoy the open lines, our various callers we have, and I hope you do as well. But, of course, we've talked on many, many subjects. We do have a great DVD. It was actually first released in 1994, but it has a lot of it footage. Some of it was actually shot by the FBI in 1988 in, of all places, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, where Abdullah Azzam, who was the founder of Al-Qaeda, was there giving talks, talking about blowing up buildings in America and, of course, killing Americans. And the FBI knew this in 1988. The DVD was shown one time in 1994, and after that, because of the degree of control over the media, it was suppressed, and it was not then shown again until after the 2001 attack. But it's called Jihad in America. It's must-watching for everybody who wants to understand the government knew all about the terrorist movement. They were watching the terrorists, the ones who blew up the World Trade Center in 1993. But, of course, we can't let the American people know that. And then, of course, we have five DVDs on what happened on September 11th. And we've got a couple of four tape sets and a couple of books. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get our DVD, The Eye of the Phoenix. The Eye of the Phoenix and our DVD on the secret mysteries of America. On the Atlantis connection, because America is the new lost Atlantis. And finally, on the emergence, the coming of the world leader. And then to put things into their spiritual context, you need to get the DVD sets by Pastor Billy Crone. The Final Countdown, Part 1, Part 2, and we carry a number of other things that Billy has done, and he'll be with us again next week as we proceed in the Final Countdown. But right now we've got Keith calling from Pennsylvania. Keith, you have a quick question?
Yes. Not too many people are talking about what we might be offering the Communist Chinese and others for collateral for the trillions of dollars of debt we're in. And the federal government owns 917 million acres of land full of resources. Clinton shut off that largest coal reserve we have in Utah with that Grand Escalante National Monument designation. Could it be he wanted to appease the Chinese and make sure they have the resources and the land that they want for collateral?
I really don't know, but I will tell you that we are transferring America's wealth to foreign nations. We're transferring intentionally our manufacturing. We're transferring our wealth, and they've done this knowingly because they want to impoverish the American people. Once you understand that, it all makes sense. Now, firstly, the leader of this whole movement is a man named David Rockefeller. His nephew was Stephen Rockefeller, and you can get Stephen's plan. It's called the Earth Charter. It was written primarily by Stephen Rockefeller, a member of a family that has trillions of dollars that dwarfs, of course, a poor little old Bill Gates and Warren Buffett. The Rockefellers, of course, have trillions of dollars at their disposal. And, of course, the Earth Charter is the master plan for the redistribution of your wealth, not only within this nation, but between nations. If you don't have a copy of the Earth Charter, go up on the Internet and simply Google it in. If you can't get one, you call us at 1-800-544-8927 and get it. And duplicate it and help us get it out across America. There is a master plan for a new spirituality, for a new world government, for all sorts of government control over our lives. And it's being played out. And there really are covert organizations, although fortunately we have the Internet. You can read about them on the Internet. That's why you need to go to my website, RadioLiberty.com. Pull down my November and December 2008 newsletters, a January 2009 newsletters. May not be posted, but hopefully it'll be posted very soon. And read them through many times. Copy them. Get them out. You need, of course, to get our material on what's going on today. Go to 1-800-544-8927. Get our pamphlets on the history of money, on the financial meltdown. And my talk, The Financial Tsunami, it's a talk we actually gave about 3 years ago, comes with a syllabus. It will explain to you what was going to happen, and everything is falling into place. They're intentionally destroying the whole world financial system to bring about a war.